Hey Lyle, it's just Ann. How are you?
I'm doing okay. How are you?
I've got a cold. So if you hear snoring, it's because I forgot to hit the mute button.
Right. So, having fun with this PDS3 thing yet?
It's an interesting process. If you like having arguments alternately about very big, broad, philosophical things and then little tiny nitpicky details. There doesn't seem to be anything in the middle.
Yeah.
It's interesting, though, because you get some insight from several different people with very different perspectives on why certain things are the way they are. And I've gotten to the point where I really don't care that much about PDS3 is an ongoing entity, but it's vitally important to take all these things into consideration. Hey, Mitch?
Yeah, we have to finish getting it modeled so that we can move it toward PDS4.
Yeah, of finding the commonalities in these things as you look at them with all their context stripped away and all the implications of support and things like that. It's a very interesting process, and we find a lot of commonalities that we didn't recognize before in some of these things that will actually be helpful in the future. So yeah, it's interesting. Could be worse.
Hi, Ann. Who else is online?
Lyle.
Is it just the two of you then?
Mitch is here.
Mitch, good morning all.
Yeah, and that's it for my count. That's all I heard calling. And I was the first, so I got to hear the piano player.
Oh, lucky you.
Well, engineering node's going to be sparse today because, as Dick pointed out, it's a regular day off. So.
The second is a day off?
Yes, it's a bizarre week. Because of the July 4th holiday, to which they attached one extra holiday, for regular employees, it's a three-day week. For those employees that are on a 980 schedule, it's just a two-day week. Filling in our time cards is going to be even more complicated. Okay, good morning, all. I think I caught everybody.
Hello.
Yep, we're here. Let's see who we got. Okay, right now I've got Lori, Mitch, Lyle, Chris, Ann, Boris, Dick, and Susie. Did I miss anyone?
Keith Bennett's here.
Keith Bennett, okay. Okay, we do have imaging. Do have atmospheres. Geo. We've got radio science. Yes, we do have rings. PPI is the only one we're missing, right?
Elizabeth, while we're waiting,
yes.
Quick question.
Yeah.
For SCR 1082.
Okay.
Never mind. I was getting the error when I clicked on the text, but it's working now. Oh, sorry about that.
Not a problem at all. All right. Why don't we go ahead? The first up is that 1082 that Chris was just mentioning. We had a discussion at some point in the past about this. This is the SCR that proposed adding the unit atmospheres to our list of accepted units. And the main source of contention on this was the fact that it's not technically an SI unit. I had asked Susie to head up a new working group along with Lyle and sorry, who else did I put on your group? Mitch.
Mitch.
Yeah. And go away and talk about it. And Susie, I guess you want to report back on what you guys concluded?
We did talk about it. We decided to accept the SCR the way it's written and recommend it for a vote.
Okay.
And I did like to point out something that was a misunderstanding at first. The SCR itself, if you read it, does not have a definition of ATM in it. I mean, that is, it's not anywhere in there does it say ATM equals some number of pascals or kilopascals or something like that. If anybody.
Hi, Patty.
Hi, guys.
Susie, the last few words of your sentence we missed.
Well, if anybody was planning to quibble about what exactly is the definition of an ATM, how many kilopascals that is.
Is there any contention about that, or is it?
No, it's just that Mitch first misunderstood, because there is something about that in the blurb on the front of the page when you go to the SCR page for this one.
Okay.
And he thought that what he was reading was actually part of the SCR itself, which it isn't.
Okay. Right.
I think there are two atmospheres, and if I'm remembering right, Elizabeth's husband discovered that ATM is what you would use for one and AT is what you'd use for the other. So I think there's some potential for confusion, but I'm not going to argue on that point.
You're right. There could be, just as there could be for any unit. And I guess what our group decided, or what I recommended and they agreed with, is that those are science questions that ought to come up as part of the peer review. If you as a scientist think that the units don't make sense or they're using the wrong thing, that's the right time to bring that up. But from our point of view as PDS, this is the common way of expressing pressure that this group is used to using, and I just don't feel comfortable telling them they're not doing it right.
Yeah, the one other piece of info that I've come across is that there are apparently a number of organizations which claim to be strictly SI that are quite happy to accept atmospheres, that it's one of those just oddball units that is fairly accepted.
Well, Susie, I'm just curious, if MRO data sets are using this, that must mean any value is like a very small number.
This is not for Mars data.
Oh, okay.
This is for laboratory data.
Oh, okay.
Acquired as on Mars analog material here on Earth. So the point of saying one ATM is just to show that it was acquired at normal room temperature and pressure.
I gotcha.
But this is in a local data dictionary, right?
It is now, yeah. So what happened, the reason I brought this up is because it's in the label with ATM in angle brackets after the pressure measurement, and VTool keeps kicking it out saying it doesn't know what ATM means. That's the whole reason for doing this.
Okay, does anybody have any more questions before we move for a vote on this? Okay, then I am going to propose that we vote on this. We're going to have two questions before us. Number one, do you approve the SCR? And number two, do you think it needs to be sent to the MC or just we just notify them? Okay, atmospheres.
Approve implementation.
Okay. Geo?
Approve direct implementation.
Imaging?
Patty, I was going to vote unless you had already planned to vote on this.
No, that's good. Approved to implementation is good.
Okay, Naif?
Approved to implementation.
PPI is not on yet, right? Okay, Rings?
Approved implementation.
Radio science?
No.
Okay. Do you have an opinion on the second one or not?
I'll tell you if it matters.
Okay. Small bodies?
Approved implementation.
Was that Lori?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I had my thing on mute.
That's fine.
I'll approve it, but it should go to the Management Council because it represents a change in policy.
Okay. So approve MC, and we'll change that to Ann. Okay. In engineering, I'm going to say approve and implementation. Okay. All right. On to the next SCR, 1126. Todd is not present. Lyle, are you on his working group? This is the multiple occurrences of the same keyword in an object, valid or not?
I am on the working group, and no work has been done in a couple weeks. Anne, I believe, is also on the working group, and she can...
No, I'm not on the working group anymore. Todd took it over.
You gave up?
I didn't have time to do anything with it, so...
Yeah, nothing's happened.
Okay. Same thing for 1127?
Right.
Okay, what about 1135? There he is. Okay.
Sorry.
That's okay, Todd. We're going through your SCRs. On 1126, this was the multiple occurrences of the same keyword in an object. Lyle said there had been no work on that. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay, 1127 ditto?
Yep.
Nope. Okay, and then we just got down to 1135, which is the PDF A as a replacement for text documents.
Yeah, that one got stalled. I guess there was some review that we're all trying to do, and that I'm not quite sure how that completed.
Okay, when you say stalled, do you just mean no update, or do you mean actually that we need to do something in order to get it unstuck?
No, I think it's more no update.
Okay.
And I don't think the working group is really even, you know, we haven't really discussed
either. No, we're not quite sure what the next step is, really, because we're not convinced that we need some, there's enough information to move forward.
Okay.
Yeah. But, you know, we need to reach some conclusion on that.
Okay. All right. I don't have any other SCRs that we need to do an active status on right now. I know there's been one new SCR submitted, and I'll try and bring that up next time in case it looks like it's going to be anything complicated. Okay, then the topic that I'd like to try and discuss today, if we can, is what we're going to do with this business of establishing criteria for accepting new SCRs. I typed a long entry onto the blog page last night. I don't expect anybody to have read that.
I have.
Oh, great. Wonderful. I appreciate that. But I know I got it in there rather late. Unfortunately, I'm on a bit of a crazy schedule this week. The fundamental thing that I saw is that we've basically got two, I think, groups tugging in opposite directions. To summarize what I said there, who just joined us?
Rose,
okay.
Elizabeth?
Yes.
I'm sorry, you said you had a long entry in the blog?
Yes. This is, go ahead.
I see, maybe I'm not looking at the right place. I see a May.
It's at the bottom.
Very bottom entry.
Thank you.
July 1st.
Thank you, I'm backwards, sorry.
Yeah, I was that way at first, too.
To summarize, I think what I'm seeing is a position that SBN is holding, along with, I think, Dick and possibly Mitch, that is favoring really clamping down on the SCRs, setting, basically not allowing any SCRs to proceed that are more than a year old, that kind of thing. And based on excluding SCRs, primarily based on effort that's going to be required to implement them. And what I said in there is that I think Todd and I have both reflected in our notes that we're a little uncomfortable with that criteria and that we'd like to see criteria based more on need, which, and I'm not trying to say anybody's holding either position exclusively. They're, you know, both groups acknowledge the need for the other as well. But I tried to sort of cut through the various positions and discuss. I was a little concerned about the issue of disallowing any SCRs based on how long they've been in the queue. And the other thing is that I think that's essentially a moot point at this stage because we've gone through all the SCRs and decided how to prioritize them. But what I try to do is sort of crystallize where I thought a compromise between the two groups might be, and then I used Todd's proposed format for trying to make it clear to missions what they are allowed to do in terms of proposing changes. And then I took a little bit of a different step than what we've done before, which is I said, okay, here's the criteria we're going to give to the missions, and then we've got this one additional caveat that says that we, within the PDF, can go ahead and propose other things if we want, but this is where we need to have the advocate stepping in and fighting for the thing or whatever. So anyway, if you guys want to scroll right down to the bottom, starting at the sort of subheading allowable changes is what I would like to see if we could use as a starting point for coming up with some criteria we can present to the MC. Anybody got any trouble getting to that page? This is on the blog. The blog entry is entitled PDS3 SCR Gateway.
I don't see anything that's called allowable changes.
Okay. Are you right down at the bottom of the blog page?
I think I am, yeah.
Okay. Work up from there. At the very bottom paragraph starts, in addition to the above.
Yes.
And then you head up above that. There's a 1, 2, 3 with disallowed changes above that, and then 1, 2 with allowable changes.
Honey, my search thing didn't find it. Okay. Thanks.
Okay. The first point that I've got under allow. Okay, number one, I don't know. Why don't I just read through this so we can discuss the format, the points, everything else. the allowable changes, what I had said, is that new standard values can be added to existing keywords in support of ongoing missions, basically. New keywords can be proposed by the missions as long as they meet all the rules for properly constructed informed keywords. We will not allow any changes to the catalog objects. We won't allow any new objects, and we won't allow tampering with existing objects to the extent of putting in new required keywords. And we also won't allow them to make any changes outside of the Planetary Science Data Dictionary. In other words, they can't get into, you know, changing our grammar or volume requirements and all that kind of stuff. So that fundamentally would be the list of changes that we would present, or excuse me, the list of criteria we would present to the missions. And then, as I said, I've got this paragraph at the bottom making it clear that, you know, yes, we can decide that something else warrants the effort necessary to go ahead and make a change. So we're not, basically,
we're not bound by these rules.
You got it. Basically, yeah.
Which is a little strange because often the missions act through us, so how do we differentiate between sort of a mission-driven request and a internal request that actually may impact missions? I don't know. Seems like we should have one set of rules.
I'm thinking what we're trying to establish here are guidelines. And when something comes up, we're going to look at the guidelines, but we're going to be allowed to inject some common sense from time to time if we can find it.
Yeah, I mean, this is the thing. I didn't want to write, I guess, this is what you're saying with the guidelines, is I didn't want to write rules that were so tight that we bound ourselves even when we stumbled across something that everybody agreed we needed to change. On the other hand, I think the advantage of separating out what we take to the missions and what we internally acknowledge is that it's not so much an issue of what the missions may effectively be able to do through us as what we advertise to the missions that they are allowed to request. In other words, what they don't know about won't hurt them.
Well, I guess that's kind of my point is I'm not sure that what they don't know about won't hurt them. You know, if we make some change because we think it's important just from a PDS operational side.
If we make a change, of course we're going to inform them. I'm not suggesting that we don't.
No, I understand. Well, let me back up a little bit. I like these rules a lot. Okay, I think they're the right rules. I just wonder what is different for us internally from these rules.
Okay, the kind of situation I'm envisioning is, say, and I know this is unlikely at this stage, but say we run across something in the standards reference that is so completely stupid and boneheaded that, you know, a complete contradiction in one chapter to what's in another chapter. And it's causing massive confusion on some new mission or something like that. I want to reserve the right for us to go ahead and clean that up to make sure that we're not causing any confusion for ongoing missions. Like I say, this may never come up because we may just say, oh, for crying out loud, we'll just have somebody explain the situation to them. We don't need to go to that effort. You know, and that's the choice we can make. But I don't want to tie our hands so that we can't make those kinds of changes.
Okay. Let me ask kind of a question to get a little more clarity on how we would work internally, and that is, you know, coming out of the PDS-3 information modeling group are a whole list of anomalies
mm-hmm.
and inconsistencies and other things which need to be corrected, and some of which might have some impact outside of just, you know, basic reconciliation between the data dictionary and the standards document.
Right.
Are we just decide those case by case internally, or do we have some criteria to say, look?
I don't know how to proceed on that, Todd, and I'll tell you what the problem is. I am fully in favor of going ahead and cleaning that kind of stuff up, and I am particularly concerned about issues within the data dictionary. However, what I have discovered is I seem to be in a fairly severe minority on that. What I'm hearing from other engineering node folks, and I believe, Mitch, I thought you also said this, something along these lines in a telecon, and I know Dick has said it in print, let's forget, let's just quit worrying about PDS-3 and move ahead.
Well, I think my point was it's going to be very hard to do both.
And, yeah, you are right, Elizabeth. I'm not terribly in favor of working, doing very much of the cleanup of PDS-3, especially things that have been around where these differences have been there for years. And basically what's happening is that each of the nodes is interpreting whichever one they like and they use it, and we're not going to fix that very easily. I would be concerned because there's so much.
Elizabeth, this is Boris. Can you remind me why we're coming up with these requirements? Is that MC directive?
Yes,
or
it's MC directive.
Actually, it was. I don't know that we actually had a firm directive from the MC, but
well,
we came up at the MC, and Dan loved it, so he's been pushing it on you guys.
Okay, somebody's been pushing it, because I know it's on the agenda for the
because in the time we spent discussing it, we could have resolved a few SCRs.
Boris, you wouldn't get any stronger agreement with you than from me. I fully agree.
Coming up again
time,
and again and again, and I'm not sure that this time is well spent.
I need to end it today because I need to have a presentation put together for next week on it. And yes, we have argued ad nauseum about this, but and I think it's a waste of time. But nonetheless, I've been told to do it. Okay, we're doing it.
I would suggest that, like Todd, I think these are pretty reasonable distillation of the comments, and if they reach some sort of middle ground. Essentially, they give us some guidelines to work with, and there's a caveat in there that says that we can inject some common sense if we need to and go outside the limitations and the rules. I'd move for just accepting these.
Well, can we put in some fine print as those lawyery things? I mean, yeah, this is great, that's what we're going to do, but we reserve the right to change it at any time?
One at the bottom.
Because that's where we're going. Otherwise, I don't see how we will agree on anything.
That's what it says at the bottom, Boris. That's the little paragraph after number 3.
I take these as the default.
Yeah.
And that if somebody really wants to argue, then that's their privilege. But this is where we start.
And I think I can live with these.
Okay.
So during your presentation, Elizabeth, you have to read that last paragraph really, really quick.
Get it by the MC, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Is the format, the way it's laid out, clear enough? I mean, is this the best way to present it? With the allowed and then with the allowable and disallowed?
I think it's great.
Being your idea, of course.
Well, no, I actually don't recognize most of the words. I think you did a great job of putting it together.
All right. Okay.
Top of disguising the source.
All right. Okay, does anybody have any suggested tweaks to it? Or is everybody happy with the phrasing as is?
Do you want to hear yeses?
Okay,
well,
given that I'm not hearing any noes, do we need a vote on this, or does everybody, I'll just go ahead and present this as what our consensus was. Is everybody happy with that?
It's just your report, and you can say there were no objections.
Okay, that sounds good. All right.
Hey!
I'm sorry, go ahead, Boris. Okay.
No, nothing, I just was happy.
Was cheering, yes, okay, all right. Okay, unless anybody has got any other pressing issues, we are done for the day.
I'd like to make a suggestion for future meetings.
Yes, go ahead.
When you send out the friendly reminder,
yes,
and it lists a bunch of SCRs,
mm-hmm,
within 24 hours, the leads for those SCRs should send you a note if they're not going to have anything to say. This almost was a non-teleconference this time.
No, we voted.
Yes,
that's a big deal.
But it, with the exception of one SCR in this discussion, everything else on the list was no progress. And we could get that electronically and not have to be sitting at a phone.
Well, I mean, fundamentally, we could do a status update via email on everything.
Well, the advantage of having the telecon and calling these out is that the person who's made no progress gets embarrassed. We hope.
Yeah,
that's the trouble
with me is my embarrassment lasts until I hang up the phone.
I'm
not sure it's even that long.
I know, I can relate.
Yeah,
but
well,
Elizabeth has almost no leverage except for embarrassing people.
You know, frankly, what I have found in the past is the telecon acts as a forcing function. It's like, there's a telecon next week. I better see if I can get something done before it.
Okay.
And I'm afraid if we resort back to the emails that even that pressure will be gone, as small as it is.
That's how we got my stuff done.
Unfortunately, not all that we do for PDS shows up in that list.
Oh, I completely understand
part of the problem,
yeah.
Part of the problem in not making progress in some of those SCRs is other activities just were
right.
Considered higher priority.
Well, and frankly, the reason the list isn't longer is because I haven't been making progress on some of the SCRs that I need to,
yeah,
in terms of getting status updated and that kind of thing.
But
you
I
have
agree.
The option of not listing the SCRs.
Yes.
You have it worked on.
That's the advantage I thought.
Yeah, no self-embarrassment there.
Well, but it gets embarrassing when I don't have anything on the list. Then everybody knows it's my fault. All right, go ahead. Sorry.
No, I think this is fine because I think, like Dick says, you know, we've got to keep the visibility of these SERs that really should be worked on, and when leads like myself just aren't finding the time, then that just kind of tells us we've got to find the time to address them. Otherwise, they linger and, you know, they become forgotten SERs.
Yeah, and frankly, if something's lingering long enough, then at some point when I finally get my attention focused on it, you know, I can try and take some action to kickstart things or whatever, so...
Or give it
hopefully
to somebody else who's been noticing nothing's happening.
Yeah. All righty then. How is the 16th looking for the next telecon?
Ooh, question I wasn't ready for.
We've got some big meetings coming up, aren't there? Let me see here. Post-bar, that's what I was just going to say, yeah. Who all does that impact? Actually, that may impact EN. If I remember correctly, there's some EN folks going. So there will be a PDS representation there.
Oh, yeah, you got the whole IPDA thing happening as part of COSAR.
Certainly Rita will be there, and I'm sure Dan will be there.
Okay, any of us
node managers,
lower-level grunts
I don't know
there.
If anybody on this on this telecon is going.
Yeah.
Mitch?
Yeah.
Dick?
No.
Don't. I can't go anywhere.
Right.
All right. So that tentatively sounds like it may still work then. Okay. Let's do July 16th. If anybody discovers any major problems with that, let me know. But I will scribble that in as the next meeting time. All right. Well, everybody have a wonderful July 4th, and hopefully you'll be able to get some extra stuff done today.
And see you in Flagstaff.
Okay, everybody. Take care. Bye-bye.
See you there.